Today's episode of Darkness Radio is brought to you by BlueChew.com. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code DARKNESS at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code DARKNESS to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank BlueChew.com for sponsoring our podcast. Welcome in, everybody, to the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm Tim Dennis. Have a good show ahead today on Darkness Radio. You know, if I had a dollar for every time someone came up to me at a convention and said, Tim, you know what? I knew that. You know why? Because I'm an empath. I would have $1 million. And you may think I'm being facetious when I say that. And some of you who have come up to me and actually said that may be saying, well, Tim, you're a jerk. It's true. I've had so many people come up to me and say, well, I knew that. Or you know what? The vibrations in this room are just so overwhelming. You know why, Tim? Because I'm an empath. But there are so many people who come up to me. So many people come up to me and say, well, I knew that because I'm an empath. There just can't be that many empathic people in this world. I think to myself, there just can't be. And then I came across a genuine empath out there who has a book. And I thought, you know what? I need to talk to this person. It was because of the way that in the description of this book that got me to say, yeah, huh? You know what? Aha! Aha! There is a litmus test for how you are an empath. There are actual descriptions of, I don't want to say symptoms of an empath, but the actual condition of an empath or the way an empath is built. I don't want to say the superpowers of an empath, but you know what? I'll put it that way. It's not just feeling the condition of others. There's more to it. I put it this way to this guest. Jennifer Magg, who I'm going to have on here in a second. I wrote her an email. I got in contact with her. And I said, you know what, Jennifer? I believe there's a difference between being an empath and physically sympathetic. And I used those words, and I believe, and Jennifer will put it in her own words, I'll just say this. I think when I put that out there, she thought right away it was an oxymoron. because it is a little of an oxymoron. But I'll explain what I mean when I bring her in here. Jennifer's got a book out there that is called Take on God. And we've got a link in the description of this program. We're going to talk a little bit about what's in that book during this program. We're also going to get into the first part of the program here, which is what exactly is an empath? Is you is or is you ain't an empath? That's what we're going to talk about in the first part of the program. So let's welcome in, without further ado, a real empath, Jennifer Magg. How are you doing, Jennifer?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
So, Jennifer, here's the deal. A lot of times when I'm sitting at my table at conventions or I meet somebody in the paranormal community, the first thing I get is, oh, Tim, you know, things are so overwhelming here. I pick up everyone's emotions and whatnot. It's because I'm an empath. And you were telling me that's unusual for your area because a lot of people don't talk like that.
Very much so. I'm from a small community originally in Ohio. And we keep our personal side of that thing to ourselves. It wasn't until the book was read and my father-in-law read it that I always knew. He probably thought I was a little odd. Mm-hmm. I literally did pick up on those kind of things in the family. after he read the book, he told my son, well, now I know why she was so different all the time. And you just You keep that stuff to yourself. So to write the book was a way to finally be true to me, to be authentic, and most importantly, as I was reawakening to things, because I shut the door to it for about 20 years. But at one point in my life, that door blew open. I couldn't keep it shut. And at the same time, my son was waking up. And so there were a lot of questions and a lot of sharing of information between one another. And we just knew if we were experiencing things, there were others. Mm-hmm. And they needed to know they're not alone, that this is actually a reality. And it was kind of scary when the book came out as to how would people back home, you know, respond or react to us. And for the most, we get, it was well written.
Really?
And that's the end of it. Yeah. Huh. Yeah. So now, when we go out of state and meet people, then it's like, oh, that's an awesome book. You know, I noticed certain things that I jived with because it resonated. It was like you were speaking of me.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. that was really good.
You gave me an interesting figure before we started the show. And again, I tell people sometimes, you know, the stuff we talk about off air is just as interesting as the stuff we talk about on air. You gave me an interesting figure of exactly what percentage of the population is an empath. And can you share with our audience what that is?
2%.
And that's it.
That's it. And I mean, you have to understand when you reached out to me with physically sympathetic.
Yes.
I right away went to Google. I went to anything and everything I've ever come across about sympathy and just paranormal and whatnot, and looked for that term. And I'm like, where did this term come from? And so I started doing tons of research and mm-hmm. looking at definitions and this and that, because I like to know my stuff mm-hmm. when it comes to anything I'm sharing. So when I came across 2%, I was like, it seems small, but yet in my neck of the woods, I could definitely say that.
And that's the figure that I want to lay out there and have people really ruminate on. 2% of the actual 2%. Population is an mm-hmm. empath. When you go to a paranormal convention, 99% of the room is an empath. I kid you not, Jennifer. That's why mm-hmm. I kind of snicker a little bit when I hear everybody in the room's an empath. So now mm-hmm. Let me get to where the words physically sympathetic come from. It's not a term in the genre. It is mm-hmm. it is literally me trying to describe what it is that people who are wanting, I don't want to say wanting to be an empath. I think it's just people have no better term when they to describe that they are a kind soul, but they also want attention. Okay. So
okay.
I'll put it to you in a simple way. Okay. And it's this, say you're in a group of like-minded people. Okay. And you want to be part of this group and be accepted by this group so much. I think that you are a nice person. You're a great person. And you want to belong and you do really do associate with others. And it may be in your regular life too. You're a great person and you really do take care of people and you care for people and you have a way of being able to read the room, put it that way. Okay. Everybody's got an ability to some extent to be able to read the room. Okay, mm-hmm. when you walk into a room, doesn't necessarily mean you're psychic. It just means you have a way of being able to navigate the waters. Mm-hmm. We all have that, you know, ability.
Right.
So, and we all have the ability to listen. Okay. It's not hard to do a cold reading at all. You just have to sit down, listen, and have somebody tell you, oh, yeah, you know, I got a little problem with my knee, or I'm not feeling real good right now. I got a headache, or, you know, I got a, oh, you know, my shoulder's hurting me, or, you know what, my blood sugar's a little low. I got to eat, you know, those are issues. Okay.
Right.
So this is what I hear sometimes from some people, and I'm not picking on anybody in particular when I say this, Jennifer. This is what I hear. Oh, I'm not feeling good. Oh, I'm dizzy right now. I got to eat. I got to eat. My blood sugar's low. Oh, I knew that. I knew that the minute I walked up, because I could see that you were kind of swooning a little bit. I could feel that. I'm an empath. Okay. These are the things I see at you know, different places I'm at, different conventions, different things. And I'm not picking on the paranormal field here, Jennifer, but these are the things I see, and I go, and my eyes roll real hard in my head. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, I wanted to bring a real empath on the show so we could go through what it is and what it is you feel, what it is you go through on a daily basis, so that people know what the gift truly is and what it is you're going through. To me, being physically sympathetic is, okay, you sit down with a person and you know that something's wrong. You just know something's wrong. You're reading the room. You know that if someone's not feeling well, you can see it on their face.
Right.
You know something's not right, or you have a feeling something's not right.
Right.
We all have that ability. I have that ability. I can sit down with somebody and tell something's not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is. I can't feel it in my body. I can't feel mm-hmm. the exact same condition that's going on with them. Explain to me, Jennifer. Let's go through it. Let's go through what your gift is and how your gift works. And let's talk about exactly how an empath works. Let's start out in the most basic terms.
Okay. First off, they can be different to certain extents for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Let's start with a scenario. I want to start with a scenario with you. Okay. Jennifer. All right. Let's start with you and I sitting here. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard because you and I are on Zoom. Okay. Mm-hmm. But if you were to tune into me, okay, just knowing me, if we had to, and I don't know how easy or difficult it is over Zoom for you to tune into me, you would have to tell me. But if you're tuning into me, what could you pick up from me just from over Zoom?
Okay. See, here's the interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
How much of it is empath?
Mm-hmm.
And how much of it is one of the clear senses?
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because as an empath, I can pick up on people
mm-hmm.
without ever talking to them.
Okay.
Without ever being around them. If I have a connection to them,
mm-hmm.
I can pick up on them. I have actually done interviews before where between the time of receiving contact from them, where they've reached out and said, we'd like to speak with you, to the day, like hour right before I meet with them, Zoom, phone call, whatever, I will pick up on them in the sense of they might have an attachment or they might, you know, just have had a bad day and they're feeling kind of bummed or gloomy or kind of a lower vibe.
Okay.
I pick up on more of the lower energy, lower vibration. I'll pick up on entities and attachments. And that's me.
Okay.
That's day in, day out, minute by minute, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And sometimes I love it
mm-hmm.
because I can help others. I can reach out to someone and say, hey, how are you doing? And at first they'll kind of brush things off. Oh, I'm fine. How are you? And it's like, okay, so how are you really doing? Let's talk. What's going on? And then you get the nitty gritty. And my mom, a lot of times, you know, if I have to go to that extent, it's because I'm talking to my mom.
Okay.
And, you know, then she's like, how did you know? You're 1,000 miles away from me.
Mm-hmm.
Mom, I was picking up on you. Oh. It's every time I talk to her, it's new to her that I was picking up on her.
Okay.
You know, it's just how it is. But if I'm not picking up on one person, but I am somewhere, and say there's 2-3 multiple individuals that are dealing with stuff, that heavy stuff, or maybe there's attachments at the location. They don't even have to be attached to anyone. They're just there. I will feel it. I can feel all of a sudden like my energy was zapped and it's gone. I can feel anxious or overwhelmed or headachy. A lot of times, for example, if I'm picking up on someone around an attachment or has one, if I keep ignoring the headache I have, I'll actually start to feel like my sinuses are plugged, just like when I used to always experience allergies as a kid.
Okay.
And now I wonder, were they allergies?
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
I used to take medicine all the time growing up because I was just always headaches, sinus congestion. And now I would say 99 out of 100 times, it's not me. It's not my energy. It's someone or something else.
Hmm.
Once I figure out what or where it is and I ask for assistance in clearing it, less than a half hour, done, and I feel good. That to me, if it's not an empath, it is definitely in the clear senses.
Really?
Yeah.
Very interesting indeed. Huh.
Yeah.
So when you're asking for assistance with it, are you going to a spirit guide and asking for that assistance?
I do one of two things. Sometimes I will just acknowledge this is not my energy. I do not give it permission to be in my space. Leave now. It doesn't mean I have an attachment or there's even one on the same property as me,
mm-hmm.
but it means that energy is in the universe and I'm sensing it.
Okay.
So by acknowledging it, I don't want it in my space. Leave now. It will usually clear up. If it doesn't, or if I want an even faster result,
mm-hmm.
I will actually ask for assistance from the archangels.
So what if you want to go deeper with that? You want to help the actual person who's being afflicted by that energy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a couple different times. My kids and I have been traveling with each other for the last couple months. And, you know, one of them can be texting with a friend. Totally different state, doesn't matter where they're at. And all of a sudden, one of us will get ouchy. One of us will get ouchy or we'll get a headache or nauseousness. And we say something to the other one. And my first question is, who are we picking up on? And you give me a moment, I figure it out. And it's like, okay, as I'm figuring it out, it's why. And if they have an attachment or there's one on the property around them, I do. When I call in an archangel for assistance, it's on their behalf to take care of that entity. And then from there, I don't normally have to ask to have that severed and removed from my picking it up, because it just, I know it's done because I feel better.
Hmm. Is it always the same archangel or is it different depending on the energy?
Usually I will do an invoking prayer, and I call on three archangels specifically. If it is something more sinister, I still will call on the same ones, but sometimes I will actually ask for additional assistance outside of the archangels.
Interesting. Okay. I guess I'm intrigued because it and you say your children have the same gift too,
which can be rare. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So how does it? I'm curious here, Jennifer. How do you first discover the children have the gift, and then how do you tell them, well, mommy has this too, and I'm going to walk you through how to deal with it.
It has been an interesting 23, almost 24 years. Very interesting. I've got various stories in the book, as do my son, things we've experienced from the time we were young to, you know, present. And I knew there was always something there with me, mm-hmm. but my grandfather, who was a seer and was one of the more stronger, spiritually gifted one in the family. He passed away when I was young. But him and I always had a very strong connection. When the phone call came in to let my mom know that he had passed, the phone rang, and I immediately, as a young child, just sat up and went, "Oh no, Grandpa." And when we're at the funeral home, I'm sitting there. I do not want to go up to the casket because he wasn't dead. He was alive. You know, everyone else is like, "No, honey, it's okay." And I'm going, "No, he's alive. He's still with us." I may not have physically been able to see him standing there, mm-hmm. but I knew he was there. So that's always been a part of my life. I mean, my grandmother was in the hospital, and my mom and her sisters called me before the cell phone day mm-hmm. to say, "Is she going to be okay?" Because things weren't looking good, and the doctors were to the point where they're like, "I don't know." So they called me and asked, and I'm in high school at this point, and, you know, kind of taken back as to, like, why are they asking me? But yet, all of these things were just showing up in my life, but they only lasted for a little while, to where I wasn't like stockpiling going, "Oh, this and this and this, this makes sense." And I'm like, "I have no idea. I'm so sorry." I hung up the phone. 30 seconds later, I knew she was going to be okay. I just knew. It was clear cognizance. I knew. And before the cell phone day, I had no way of reaching them to say, "It's okay." So I've had this kind of stuff off and on throughout my life. How much was empath picking up on my grandmother's energy or anyone else's energy? And how much of it was something even more? And what's interesting is a lot of people that are spiritually gifted are empaths. But what's also interesting is you don't have to be empathetic to be an empath or be spiritually gifted.
Gotcha. Okay.
Empathy and empathetic is the same thing. But that is, you are showing empathy. You are showing, you know, you are being empathetic to someone. That does not mean empath. Mm-hmm. Those are two completely different things. Sympathy, you know, you're sharing condolences because maybe your friend's parent passed away. But as you're showing them sympathy and you're giving them your condolences, in the back of your mind, you're glad it's not your own parent, maybe, or someone else in your life. And you leave instantly, you feel better because you did what you went there to do, and it no longer affects you. As an empath, we feel it the whole way to the funeral home, through the line. saying our piece, we feel their grief, we leave, we're still crying. And we may never have met the person, but we feel the pain of the others. Do I need someone to call me and say, I'm hurting today, to know that they're hurting? No, I can be 1,000 miles away. Trust me, I tried to run from it. I did. I left home. I tried to get away from it. I didn't want to pick up on everyone else back there that were going through their things. I love them. Mm-hmm. But I wanted a break. I didn't get that break. I learned something in the last year. You don't get a break from it. You can't outrun it.
I think that's why I said physically sympathetic, because when I see people running around at conventions and saying, oh, no, I knew that because I felt it. Well, if you're feeling it, to me, and you tell me this, Jennifer, if you're at a convention and you're feeling all those emotions and you're feeling all these people who supposedly have illnesses, wouldn't you be driven to the brink of craziness? I mean, wouldn't it, if you opened yourself up like that, and trust me, there's quite a few people at a paranormal convention who have chronic illnesses and they don't feel well, and they've got all these different things going on. If you opened yourself up to an entire room, wouldn't you be in a ball, in a fetal position somewhere in a corner?
That's why most true empaths do not go to big events like that. And if we do, it is for a very short amount of time. Mm-hmm. We're in, we see the things we want to see, and we get out.
Yeah.
And at that point, we need our downtime to rejuvenate. It's like we have to leave to charge our battery back up by being alone.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, that's if they're an introvert empath. Mm-hmm. There are a few extroverts. Thank you.
Yep.
Extroverts.
Yep.
And they actually charge in those family get-togethers and those big events, but that's not a lot. It's a small number of them. So true empaths, if they're extroverts, yes, they're going to charge their battery, going to those conventions, and they'll leave, they'll feel great. They may have picked up on everyone else, but they're going to feel great. Those that are not, like myself, you know, we go, we see the people or the things we are drawn to. And then shortly thereafter, we're like, okay, I need out. Maybe we just need some fresh air and mm-hmm. we can go back. Mm-hmm. Other times we need a full day out.
Yeah. And I can understand going in, seeing some of the things you want to see, and then maybe you go out and ground and shield, maybe you go outside mm-hmm. and put your feet in the grass, doing whatever mm-hmm. you need to do in order to, you know,
right,
get centered and then
yeah.
go back in. But I've seen people spend days upon days upon days in a smoky casino and they're just fine. But walking
yeah.
around and talking about what an empath they are, come on. That to me is why I bring out the term physically sympathetic. And with that, when I use those words, I use them carefully. I use them because I know there's a little bit of an attention factor being mm-hmm. being used
sure.
there too. So that
sure.
that's why I bring that up there. And you know, one of the things that the reason I say physically sympathetic too is I don't really feel like the pain of others is being felt there, genuinely being felt there. I've actually had friends, dealt with people, and had people in my life that are the real
sure.
deal, Jennifer. And friends that have, you know, called me and said, you know, I'll give you one example and one that everybody knows. And that is a psychic. And that's Joe who would call me at all hours of the day and night and say, hey pal, what's going on? Why, you know, I can feel extreme back pain. You know, it feels like mm-hmm. your back is exploding. What happened? or it feels like your knee is exploding. I'm holding my knee right now, and I know I didn't do anything to my knee. So, why does it feel like your knee is torn apart? Right. Or, I can barely move. What happened to your back? It's got to be you. Mm-hmm. And I'd just be like, dude, you're scaring me. How did you know? And I'd be laid up, I'd be laid up and had, my lower back would be out or my mid back would be out. And I just have no idea. Right. And Joe called himself a voice direct sensitive, where he would read you by hearing your voice, which was an odd way to read someone, mm-hmm. and was one of the more rare gifts, I guess, that I've ever heard of psychically.
Right.
But it was truly, but although he would tell you behind closed door, he was an empath. I don't believe he ever said it on air. I don't remember him saying it on air, but I think he was with the ones he loved and the people he was closest to. He could pick that up, but he definitely could. He did some amazing things, Jennifer. He could tell you where through a friend of a friend of a friend, as long as you were connected, he could find people. He found there was a young boy who was missing in an amusement park. And we've told the story on the show before, so I won't go into great detail. I'm just doing it for your benefit. There's a young boy who was lost in an amusement park. And through a friend who had asked, he said, this boy is actually in the gift shop right now with... he's wandering around. He's looking for, I think the way the story goes, he was outside the gift shop. He was wandering around. He was looking for his mother. He was scared. He was lonely. He was crying, but he's within reach. They're just not looking in the right spot for him. And sure enough, he gave them the exact location where the boy was, and they found him, but it was because it was through a friend of a friend.
Right.
And he got the image and there he was.
Yeah.
But and when you describe empath here, in just the short description that I had got from you, and you talk about being connected in that way with someone, being connected to where you can feel their pain, or you can feel something from the pain you feel, or do you get a physical, not just the physical sensation, but can you see them at that moment as well?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Not necessarily all the time. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it starts by the feeling. I pick up on this pain of some sort. For myself, the way I'm going to back up a moment.
Sure.
A lot of things came to me very easily when I was much younger and had no clue what was going on. And then after I got married and had kids, I kind of shut the door after I kept telling everyone for 3 years, one of the grandkids were going to get bit by this family dog that a family member kept bringing. No one would listen. Sure enough, I was saying this when I was pregnant with my daughter. And sure enough, my daughter's about 2.5, 3 years old, and she's the one who got bit by the dog.
Oh,
after
wow.
I was promised the dog would not be around her. That's the only reason the dog and my daughter were in the same house. But it happened. For 3 years, I was telling them. Did I know which grandchild? No. I just knew it was going to happen. And after that, it was, what was the point? No one's going to listen to me. They all think I'm crazy. And even though they had proof, no one acknowledged it. So at that point, I shut the door on it. And it wasn't until after I hit my head and basically was out for about 20 seconds, where in this, I was just, it was, Jennifer, you've got some work to do. You need to wake up. And my response was, wow, I've been dead a long time. Because I had shut that part of my being off. So here we are now, 5.5 years later after the head injury, where everything is being reawakened. And things were already starting to waken up before I hit my head. I was picking up on my massage clients that are, you know, driving to me 45 minutes for their appointment. And I get this severe pain in my back. And I'm like, where is this coming from?
Mm-hmm.
Client shows up, tells me what's going on. And I'm like, it was her all along. Okay. So I was gradually waking up to gifts that I had always had and shut off, turned away from.
Okay.
So now here we are. It starts with, in my body, it starts as a feeling. It could be pain, could be a sensation like exhaustion, dizziness, nauseousness, congestion. But then once I start asking myself, what is going on? Is this mine? And the minute I know it's not mine organically,
mm-hmm.
and it's coming from out there, then I hone in on who and what. And usually that's when I start getting the clips of, you know, it's this my side of the family, or it's my ex-husband's side of the family, or it's this person or that person. And with one question, I immediately know, but I'll tell you what, a lot of times I still go through my list just to make sure I don't miss anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but so do I see things? Yes, but only when I stop myself. Okay. I stop from the distractions and I hone in on things.
Okay. Tell you what, Jennifer, let's take our break right here. When we come back, I want to get into the why of an empath and the gift, the why.
Okay.
And whether it's a blessing or a burden. We'll talk about that when we come back. The book is out there right now, and we've got a link in the description of this program so that you can go ahead and get it. It's called Take on God, and it's available right now. Folks, I want to encourage you to go out there and get it. It'll describe a little bit more as to the difference between being, as I called it, physically sympathetic and actually being an empath, which, as Jennifer stated so eloquently, only 2% of the population is actually an empath. When we come back, we will we'll talk a little bit more about whether it's a burden or a blessing. That's coming up next right here on The Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. Welcome back to The Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm Tim Dennis. Our guest is Jennifer Magg. She is the author of Take on God. And that is, I don't say it as a question mark, by the way. It's not a question mark. The name of the book is Take on God. And she is an empath, an actual honest-to-God empath, not what I like to call a part-time empath or someone who is physically sympathetic is the way I've put it. That's my description. And we went over that description in the first part of the program. So if you don't quite know what that means, rewind the podcast and go over that first part as to what I meant by that. Jennifer, before the break, I had teased as to whether this is a burden or a blessing, because it seems to me like you take on quite a bit just to get down to the nitty-gritty of what's going on with a person. And it's not like this is a convenient way to find out what's going on with a person. It seems like it's just kind of intrusive into your life that you're getting the projection of what's wrong with a person, but it's intruding on your physical health in order to figure out what's wrong with someone. In your world, is this a burden or a blessing?
Okay, to be honest, I would probably say both, but I still look at it as a blessing. I look at it as a blessing because it still gives me the opportunity to help others, mm-hmm. even if they don't know they're getting helped. If I call in the archangels to assist a friend or a family member, whether because they have an attachment or there's one on the same property as them, they don't need to know I did that. But I feel better afterwards because it was taken care of. So knowing that I can help someone, again, they don't have to know I did it, but just knowing that I was able to assist them, I would say it's a blessing. It doesn't seem like it would be a blessing to know if a loved one's going to pass away before mm-hmm. they do. When I was younger, I would know just boom, like that.
Okay.
I could speak to someone and hang up that phone. Again, back in the day before cell phones, you hang up that landline. And I got that download. I heard it. I felt it. I saw. And I may not know the how, but I still saw that it came to an end. And usually it was in less than 12 hours.
Really?
And now it can be as much as a year, 3 years. And that one's the tough one. Knowing, and it's in less than 12 hours, you go through that immediate grief as if someone told you, because someone did. Mm-hmm. You can't prove it until it happens. I've had that happen three times in my life when I was younger. It was a connection, and I still say that's a gift. Now reawakening to things, and it might be a year or more. Those are the tough ones, because it's like having a friend or a family member that is terminally ill. And with that diagnosis, you know it's coming and you're waiting. They don't have a diagnosis. You just know it's coming.
Mm.
That one probably leans a little more towards a burden.
Yeah.
Because you never know the when. But again, I've had that happen twice in my life in just the last couple of years. So I know it's still, I know I'm still connected. I know those gifts are still there.
Is that a definite date, or is that like a sliding line where if they do certain things, maybe they can put that off for a little while, or is that a,
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. The ones when I was younger and it was in less than 12 hours, it was still so new to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, the first one was the phone rang. It was my grandpa. He had already passed away, but I still knew with the phone ringing before my mom or dad got the phone.
Mm-hmm.
The other two were friends of mine in high school, two separate years, you know, and, I tried to call the one friend back and she had already left. So it was a matter of waiting. The other one actually would have been the second situation. And it was the second time, but it was so many years from the first that I was just like, okay, God, please no. And I didn't go out that night. I waited. Watched a movie, waited, and my sister didn't come home. Her friends, you know, when the phone rang, I knew, and my sister was the only one in the car that made it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there, I hung up the phone with my friend that night, and it was just this immediate download. And again, you know, teenagers, they're in and out real fast.
Yeah.
There was no getting a hold of any of them. So, they're gone. You know, they went out, they did their thing, and I knew it to be true when the phone rang. So, those, I guess you would say, were not sliding scales.
Right. Yeah.
The ones, recently, but in the past, I don't know. I knew it was coming. I didn't know the when, mm-hmm. but I knew it was coming. And, sure enough, it did take place. So, you know, I know we're all going to die at someday, but mm-hmm. this was, it's coming.
Do you warn that person that it's coming?
I have actually asked if I should.
Okay.
Because I lived for years with grief of if I had only got a hold of my friends mm-hmm. or if I had only, my one friend, she was licensed. I had my permit back in that day. You could get in a car, didn't have to be the parent. And, as long as the licensed person was with you the whole time, you're fine. I could get her to where she was going, but then I had no way back. And that's what she was asking. And so when I hung up the phone, I knew she was going to be in an accident. And I always, for years, just wished and grieved mm-hmm. that I would have got in the car and taken her. And at the same time, my family has told me if you did, and that was supposed to happen, it could have happened to you. Maybe you wouldn't have died. It wasn't your time, but you could have been injured or living with that grief of it was your fault. You drove. So, do I tell them now? No, one, because I say no, number one, mm-hmm. because in our neck of the woods, it's still not something you speak about. So people think you're crazy. And number two is if there's a sliding scale, I don't know what it is. If it's tomorrow, you know, if I know someone's going to die in this next year, I don't know if it's tomorrow unless I get that download or if it's at the end of the year, but I know it's going to happen this year. I could end up freaking them out. They go to the doctor, that all the doctors say there's nothing wrong with you. Maybe that's because there was nothing wrong with them, but their time was still coming. So I've asked if I should, and I've always gotten the answer no.
Interesting.
Yeah, when I ask the spirit guides or the higher powers that be, whether you call it universe, God, or your choice, the couple times I've asked, I've always been told no.
Now, I'm assuming that's because if you told them, it would change the course of how they live their life.
You know, I would probably say yes, because my understanding, I did not study quantum physics, but I'm intrigued by it. Mm-hmm. And time is not linear. And things, you look at something, the way you look at it, it changes. The way you approach things changes. So yeah, if I were to intervene by saying, hey, get your ducks in a row because something's going to happen to you this year, that could change the how something's supposed to happen, when something's going to happen. Some would say, well, if it prolongs it, great. But what if it wasn't supposed to be prolonged? What if a person is meant to die when they are? Because they have to go to Seoul Hospital. They have to go to soul school.
Yep.
They have to learn and readapt to things before they have that opportunity to decide, am I going to reincarnate and come back, or am I going to stay wherever stay is?
Very true. Very true. Yet you also could, you know, you could play devil's advocate here and say, well, maybe if that person stays a little longer, it changes the lives of someone who could really use it. You know,
it could change the lives for someone better, for someone else in a better way. Mm-hmm. It could also change things negatively.
Sure.
I've lost a lot of friends and family, both young and old. And I know that if it was their time to go, that's because they did what they were here to do, to help those they were supposed to. And they're not done learning. They're going to move on to that next plane and still continue to learn. And even if they decide to stay put, some call it heaven, some just call it the next dimension and playing field. You know, they're still making an impact. Sometimes I believe they can be of better service to us even from that other field than right here with us. My son and I one time were talking with my mom, and sometimes my son will channel messages, and he received a message and was sharing it with my mom, and it was something she was supposed to then turn around and share with her sister. And my mom was like, well, why didn't they just tell me? You know, because, I mean, we're capable of it. And long story short of it is, my mom has had her moments of letting things in. Mm-hmm. So my son channeled the message because it was the only way to get it to her. And she said, why do I have to go tell my sister? And we looked at her and we're like, because my aunt, your sister, won't let him in. Not at all. Mm-hmm. She doesn't care if it's a good message, a bad message. She doesn't care if it's from her siblings that have passed, if it's from the archangels, if they're here to say you want $1 million or you're going to lose $1 million. She doesn't care. She's like, not today. I can't handle it. So you have to go tell her, because this is a message she needs to hear, and she'll take it from you. She'll turn us away. If you look at them and say, not today, they leave. They cannot share.
Interesting. Indeed. Interesting. Yeah. That's funny. Because there are the most hardened cynics out there. I'm not talking skeptics. I'm talking cynics. And you wonder how a hardened cynic would even get a message from the other side. Because there are people that walk around with blinders on and say, I don't believe in anything.
Very much so. And we've run into those people. And there are some, we've tried to let in by, we try to share to them or with them so they don't feel left out, so they can, but that's who they are. And so it just kind of like, it's like bouncing a ball to them that just falls flat at their feet, you know? And so with that, we've learned that unless they come to us and say, hey, what can you tell me? Dare I say, it's almost a waste of our time, our energy. And it actually, as an empath, can cause us more emotional and energetic and even physical pain to go through that than to wait for them. And sometimes it is a matter of time. Sometimes people just need that.
Interesting.
And some never choose it.
Let me ask you a question, Jennifer. And this kind of goes back to your beginnings or origins as an empath. First of all, I forgive me if I go a little bit in reverse here.
Sure.
Now, your gift really blossomed after a head injury. Can you tell us a little bit about that day, what happened with that head injury and how that occurred? I know you probably hate to relive it, but what happened with that day, and how did that occur, and how did the gift blossom after that?
You know, that day was an interesting day. I went to a business meeting and came home, and my son was going to be a freshman in college, and he was commuting, so it wasn't far away. And he looked at me and said, "Mom, I'm going to go pick up my books. Would you like to go with me?" Well, I ask you, what parent's going to say no?
Right. Yeah.
So I'm like, let me change. It's summertime. Let me change into some comfortable clothes. Sure, I'll go.
Mm-hmm.
I went into the laundry room to grab some of my clothes, and lost my footing in the laundry room, reached for the wall to the side, but nothing there to grab onto, and kept going backwards. In the process of going backwards, the occipital bone made impact with the dryer, moved the dryer a half foot.
Oh.
And it wasn't until I started seeing a holistic doctor for cranial sacral adjustments that I discovered that the cranial had actually been moved forward and to the side a little. So luckily this doctor actually had just 6 months prior been in a car accident, had gone through some similar things and learned functional neurology.
Okay.
So started doing a lot of different treatments in moving the bones back to where they belonged. So in between that time of, you know, I hit my head, moved the dryer, and meeting this doctor, I received a message that, you know, "You've been out, girl. You need to wake up. You need to get out there, get to work." And I didn't know it. I honestly, it was still 3.5 years later before consciously I received that message.
Huh.
That was a subconscious message that was directly to my soul. It took 3.5 years from the time I hit my head to the time I moved. And I moved strictly because the doctors I was working with were like, "We've reached our max. We recommend salt water. Get out there to the ocean and let nature take its course." So my kids and I moved to South Carolina, and synchronicity took place.
Okay.
So in the meantime of those 3.5 years, I didn't sleep a lot. I didn't sleep a lot beforehand. I was already going through adrenal fatigue and exhaustion because I didn't realize I was an empath. I didn't realize the things I was going through. I knew they were unique and different, but I couldn't explain them. And it wasn't until while I was recuperating still at home and my son started to go through things that I was like, wait a minute. There's more to this. This is brain injury recovery and more. I am waking up spiritually with my son. And so that's what brought us to writing the book. But we didn't finish the book where we lived. We moved to South Carolina and finished the writing process, met two other wonderful therapists, doctors that continued to assist me in gentle type somatic movements, with lots of time spent around the water and the beach. And a year and a half after that, so 5 years later.
Okay.
Good to go.
Wow.
Good to go. But you have to understand, when I left, I knew I needed to leave in order to heal. Mm-hmm. My request was, if I'm going to do this, number one, show me the way. Number two, help me to heal. I want to be able to handle lights and noise. And because it was extreme. I couldn't, after I hit my head.
Yeah.
I couldn't go and watch a sporting event with my family or a musical. What I did not realize is, be careful of what you ask and wish for, mm-hmm. because in doing so, it was the floodgates opening up to all of the traumas, both in my present and past lives.
Mm.
So I had to confront a lot during this time frame. And so in those 5 years, I confronted a lot. I worked through, moved through a great deal. And from there, it's literally a blessing. I would not have said that when I hit my head.
Yeah.
But it has been a blessing. And I never want to go through anything like that again. That is one of the things I'm still trying to work on, is it's okay to live. I don't have to be afraid that something's going to put me in a place where I was 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
5 years ago, I felt my life was coming to an end. But I still live with that extreme fear. But so many of the others, good to go. And I do believe that's an issue that a lot of empaths deal with, is the anxiety. Is it yours or is it someone else's?
Yeah.
And if you've got stuff to work on that you have not confronted, it could be yours.
Is it just the issue of sorting out what's genuine, what's not, or is it the ownership issue, or is it the fact that is it a reality issue? Is it more than just, you know what I'm getting at?
I would say it's probably all of the above.
Okay.
A little of this, a little of that. I've had so many people in just the last, year and a half that I've met that are like, oh my goodness, you have been through a lot and done a lot of growth. Yeah, I've probably done more growth in just the last year and a half than most people have in 20 years of their life. Once I'm able to put that aside, put that behind me, I feel good. But what's interesting is, just because we think we've healed from it,
mm-hmm.
we've healed at that stage. So it's like peeling back that onion. You get some of it gone. You feel good. There's another layer.
Yeah.
You work through that. You feel good. Then comes another layer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'll ever truly be done growing, healing. And in a way, it'd be kind of boring if I was.
Yeah.
If I could just say tomorrow, wake up, hey, life's good, it's golden, I'm healed, I'm great. And I am in such a much better place today than what I've been in 20 years.
That's a good thing.
And in that time frame, I had a brain injury. I mean, but it helped me to wake up.
You know, I have to ask you this, Jennifer, and that's, you said your grandfather had a gift, although it didn't involve, as far as I can tell, it didn't involve having to be coaxed. Yours having had to have been coaxed, unfortunately, by the head injury. Your son has a gift, didn't have to be coaxed at all. So I wonder, why did it take trauma, or has it been explained to you by any other source? Why did it take trauma to have to coax your gift out of you?
Quite honestly, good question. I never really thought about that. I'm going to go back to the fact that from the time I was a kid, I knew I was unique. Mm-hmm. I knew I was different. And I owned it. I was not a person who was filled with a great deal of confidence, but yet there was a part of me that just knew I was a good, wholesome person that, you know, had a place in this world that was meant to make an impact, that sometimes knew things before they happened, saw things, heard things, had no understanding as to how or why, but it was a part of me. And I was okay with that. And then I got married to a wonderful man, but I didn't really feel extremely welcome in his family.
Okay.
And I guess that's probably because they too sensed that I was different, mm-hmm. but didn't know what. And because of that, you know those toys where you've got the different size shapes and the kids are to match the shapes into the holes, and those holes are the same size and shapes? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, kind of like the blocks. Are you talking about?
Yeah, you've got like stars and circles and squares.
Yep.
Okay, and they're, okay, so match them up. I was a star trying to fit into both a square or a circle.
Okay.
I never could match up to the right shape. And that's how I felt. And I was still willing to own who I was. And I shared things, but everyone just kind of turned and looked away and walked away. And after my daughter's accident with the dog, and still no one acknowledged that there was something there, I was like, I need to be silent. I just need to be seen and not heard. And that meant I showed up. I only shared a smidge of me. Mm-hmm. I was as open as I could to other, but I became extremely reserved. I shut myself down. I went into a very dark, deep tunnel. At one point, I was told after having two kids that I probably just had them too close together because they were like 22 months apart, and was told I needed to go on an antidepressant because I could handle life better then.
Hmm.
And so I tried the medicine and came to realize that I did that to try to help other people accept me and get along with me, because then I wasn't too much for them.
Okay.
And after the dog bite, sometime after that, I was like, no, I'm not staying on this medicine. I heard little whispers. Are you sure she should go today? Are you sure she should be with them? And I was like, oh, they'll be fine. Well, she wasn't fine.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to climb out of that dark hole. I went off the medicine. I'm not saying, you know, everyone should do that.
Right.
But this is my story.
Yep.
And I strongly believe that it was just 20 years of hiding, living behind a closed door that was way down deep into a dark tunnel, that I, over the years, I did tapping, I did meditation, I journaled, I did yoga, I did all kinds of things to try to help bring me out of it. And although I was getting close, I still kept running and hiding behind that door.
Mm-hmm.
I was working with patients, doing massage, that's when I felt great. That's when I felt comfortable, because my clients, they were open to my gifts because my massage was intuitive. They would tell me what was going on. I'd put them on the table with this thought of this is what I'm going to do. It went out the window and my hands took over because the intuition kicked in. And there were times I would pick up on things. I would ask them questions and I'm like, this is not for you to necessarily answer and tell me, but for something for you to work through or maybe to think about. Mm-hmm. Because our body is going to remember pain and our body is going to hold it. So you can come to me every week because you're in pain, but if it's something you need to work on internally, I'm giving you the heads up. I'm not shutting the door on you, but consider it. But my clients were so supportive. They were like, Jennifer, you can't keep helping us if you don't help yourself. You have to heal. You have to take care of you.
Yep.
So I strongly feel this book was meant to be wrote. The messages that my son and I share are meant to be heard. People need to be seen. They need to know they're not alone. They need guidance. They need direction. And I'm sorry, sometimes the modern world, the modern Western world especially, it's not always the most friendliest to us. Mm-hmm. And so we wrote this so that way they knew there are options. There is more. My father used to always say the best plan is when you can take modern Western world and mix it with what some people call the woo-woo, you know, mix it together and then you get the whole being. I strongly feel I had just gone into hiding for so long that my spirit guides, God, Jesus, the universe, they came knocking on my door and said, Jennifer, no more, no more.
It's interesting because the way you put it, for some people, there's only room for one or the other. There's only room for the woo-woo, mm-hmm. or there's only room for God and Jesus, and that's it. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you've made room for everybody.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm an all-inclusive group.
Which is good to hear, because I think some people think they can only be comfortable with one or the other. And it's right. Nice to see that you're comfortable with all of them.
Yeah. We actually start the book letting people know that, some people might say that what we wrote was, and my tongue will get tied on this word, blasphemy.
Yeah, blasphemous.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not meant to be. Whether you have a denomination or not, whether you just say you're a Christian or not, whether you're there for the woo-woo or the science, my sister is one of my best friends. Mm-hmm. She is very much a science-minded individual, mm-hmm. but she still believes in faith. My father's family was Catholic. My mother's family was, I'm drawing a blank. Lutheran. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that. I don't know why I drew a blank.
No, that's all right. No.
I've never really fit into any one denomination. Mm-hmm. There was a time there when my mom was going through some things and we went from church to church to church looking for answers. Mm-hmm. And I met a lot of people, learned a lot of things.
Sure.
There are some things from every religion I've ever been introduced to that I liked, mm-hmm. and I didn't like. Mm-hmm. And again, I feel it's because there were some things that resonated as, yes, this feels like truth for me.
Yep.
But not all of it. And my husband and I used to always have these conversations of him saying, you can't pick and choose. Mm-hmm. And I would say, but why? I would immediately go back to that little girl who would be like,
"There's
well, why?
There's nothing wrong with having that journey and figuring out where exactly you lie." You know, I mean, I think a lot of people do it. They don't like to admit that they've done it, but there's nothing wrong with trying out new things and you know, figuring out what fits you.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I love to read about quantum physics, science, the woo-woo, the spiritual side of things. Mm-hmm. I have a very strong connection to the spiritual side of things. I think that's one of the reasons why I actually do pick up on attachments so easily. I've come to understand after a Reiki session with a wonderful woman that I was talking to her, and as I was sharing some of bits and pieces of myself, she looked at me and she said, "You're an Earth Warrior." And I went, "I'm a what?" She said, "You're an Earth Warrior." She said, "You're here to, you know, maybe help people pass over. You're here to help the different entities that are out there that people can't see, but they need assistance. You're here to kind of help keep a balance between light, dark." And it was interesting because she really honed in on this when I was like, I can see a building. And most people look at it and say, "Oh, it's old, it's crumbly, knock it down," or "It needs some TLC." Mm-hmm. It could be yes to any of those, but sometimes it doesn't matter what you're going to do until you energetically clean it up first.
True.
So, yeah, I think one of the reasons why maybe I was coaxed out of the hole, if you will, was because where I was, not only for those 20 years of being behind the closed hiding door, yes, growing up, I was unique and individual, but there wasn't enough there to guide me and to show me the ropes. And I had to really, really do a deep dive in soul searching, which I was already on that path. I was already doing that for those 30, 40 years of my life. But I went into a deeper dive soul searching after that episode, after hitting my head. And I think it was necessary.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. The book is out there right now. It's called Take on God. And just one last question here for you, Jennifer. When naming the book, was that a purposeful thing? Did you name it Take on God on purpose?
We did.
Okay.
I'm drawing a blank on the name of the band. I think it's AHA, saying Take on Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a play on words.
Okay.
Because basically we strongly felt that we were saying, "All right, God, you know, we fit that song, Take on Me. You're taking us on, we're going to take you on." And not in necessarily a, "We take you on," you know, we're like all upset or anything, as much as just, it's a give and take.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And every one of the chapter titles is actually a song title.
There you go. Okay. Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. And I was looking at that earlier when we were talking. So, yeah. And what Jennifer's referring to when she's talking about the different chapters. So you've got the preface of Unpack Your Heart, Welcome to the Future, Superwoman. So that would be the Stevie Wonder. The Stevie Wonder deal, wouldn't it? Or is that a different one?
I believe it is.
Yeah. Okay. We Didn't Start the Fire, obviously, Billy Joel. Mm-hmm. Got My Mind Set on You.
Shame.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let It Be. The Middle. Listen to Your Heart. Who Says I'm Not Alone? When We Were Young. Three Wooden Crosses. You're My Best Friend. That's What Friends Are For. I got. Okay. Gotcha. All right. So you. All right. I see what you're doing there.
Yeah. Those song titles cover a lot of different genres.
Yep. Yes. Rock and roll ain't noise pollution. I know what that, obviously I know what that one is. But yeah, great. So it's available now. We have a link in the description of the show. Jennifer, I want to thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. I've enjoyed this.
Yeah, I have too. And so now our audience has a good description of what an empath really is. And so if you're feeling, really feeling feelings and clearing some of that energy away from people, you can call yourself an empath. You're right. Now we've got that on. So folks, go and get that, go and get that book, Take on God. Jennifer Magg and her son, Alexander Magg, are the authors of Take on God. Again, available in the description of this show. Go ahead and get that book right now. So Jennifer, I want to thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Folks, want to thank you again for another great week of Darkness Radio. Want to remind you again to take care of yourself and each other. There are a lot of people out there right now who are needing help. And I've reminded you of that week after week. I know it seems like kind of a chore when I tell you that. So I'm going to tell you lovingly that, you know, it's winter. You know, it's cold out there. People need coats. They need hats. They need food. Just find somebody out there who needs some help this weekend and go ahead and help them. I won't beat you over the head with it this week. I want to thank you guys this week for tuning in and listening to the show this week. We had some really great guests this week. And I want to thank you guys for listening in this week to those guests. Reverend Oresti, want to thank him. Want to thank Jennifer Magg this week. And I want to thank our sponsor, Blue Chew, this week for helping us out. I also want to thank our other sponsors, Microdose Gummies and HelloFresh. And also, I want to thank you guys once again for listening in. Love you guys. Appreciate you guys. Thank you for being with us this week. Next week, Beer City Bruiser is back. I want to thank him because he's been with me through thick and thin and been a brother to me. And I really want to thank him and tell him how much I appreciate him. I know you guys appreciate him as well. He's had the chance to rest, refresh, regenerate, as well as I have. And now we're going to hit it and go full throttle. And I'm going to take a little bit of a break mid-September for that minor heart surgery we talked about. So there's going to be a little bit of stoppage of play. And not stoppage of play, because you still have new shows. But we'll take a little break in there mid-February. And right after Valentine's Day. And you'll have new shows, like I said. And we'll go from there. I don't know. I might even do the guest host thing. Thinking about it. If you have a guest host you want to hear from, email me, tim@darknessradio.com. No smart assery allowed. But I don't know. If you want to hear from Bob Dennis, if you want Beer City Bruiser to host a show, let me know. Just let me know if you have a special guest host. Maybe you want Alan Warren to sit in on True Crime Tuesday. Or if you have a True Crime Tuesday host you'd like to hear from, let me know. Like I said, no smart assery. You know who you are. That'll do it for today's Darkness Radio. Thank you so much, folks, for listening in. We'll see you next week. Myself and Beer City Bruiser are back to full strength right here on the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio.